What a great song, amen. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Great to see so many faces here. Is there anyone here for the first time in the house? You're very welcome, Chris. You're very welcome. It's great to have you, ladies. You know, this morning I'm going to be talking about, you know, the whole Christmas theme that we're in. You know, what a great month that we're in. You know, and Noel opened up the series last week, you know, about talking about Advent, you know, and what Advent really means, you know. And for those that weren't here last night or last week, we heard that Advent was the traditional churches would use this Advent as a way of leading the church into a new year. You know, it was the coming and the arrival of something that was about to happen. And in the Old Testament prophecies, it was about the coming and the arrival of Jesus. And this morning, I want to talk about the three wise men that we might know of, about the three wise men. But just before I get into that, I just want to pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your word this morning, Lord God. And Father, I just ask, Lord God, that this word, Lord, would just fall deep into hearts this morning. Father, will you just come and settle anything, Lord, that's out of order here this morning, Father. Settle me, Father God. And Lord, just let me bring this word to your people this morning. Father, let this seed go out this morning, Lord God. And let it be planted in hearts, Lord. And just ask that the Holy Spirit will come and just water the seed this morning, Father God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short as a people. You know, but through the arrival of Jesus' birth and through his death was how God unfolded his adventure plan. That we would be adopted into God's family. That we would be delivered from sin and that we would receive forgiveness of sin. That we would know the peace of God. That we would have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit so that we would be partakers of Advent, of this great adventure, the never-ending story, because that's what it's all about. And Christmas is great, but the birth of the Messiah is never-ending. It's the never-ending story for all of us here this morning. And you know, the wise men, you know, they played a part in the Christmas story. And God, when he was orchestrating this story together, the truths of this story together, the plan of this story, he picked these wise men. And these wise men went star tracking across the universe. They went star tracking across the country. And you know, I met two women here this morning, you know, and it just settled me and it gave me confirmation in my heart. These two women that are sitting amongst us this morning, they were at a party last night and the party was called Star Tracking. You know, and you know, God just has a great sense of humor, you know, and this is what the team is about this morning, that these wise men went star tracking. They went in search of this light that they had seen. And you know, tradition would tell us that there was three wise men. We assume that there was three wise men. And what would have happened if God had have picked three wise women instead of three wise men? Well, you know, the three wise women, we would have probably asked for directions. Amen. We would have arrived on time. We would have helped deliver the baby. Yeah. We would have cleaned out the stable. We would have made a casserole. And we would have brought nappies. We would have brought wipes. And we would have brought baby milk. Amen? Amen. But you know what? That would sum up. You know, that would sum us up, ladies, wouldn't it? In a nutshell. That would sum us up in a nutshell. But you know, God didn't pick women. And I can stand here this morning and we can joke about it, you know. But God picked wise men. And in Matthew, in his writings, he doesn't say that there were two wise men, there were three, there were five. The truth is, we don't know how many there were. But from the passage of Scripture, the Magi came from the east. They came from the east country. And they caused a great stir when they arrived in Jerusalem. They caused such an outcry in Jerusalem from the visit when they came. The people in Jerusalem were shell-shocked of these men arriving into their hometown. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me in Matthew 2, 1 to 12, if you have your Bible with you. And I think it might be on the screens. Okay, and this is what it says in Matthew. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When we had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." And this is what was recorded in Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know, when I was putting this together, there's not an awful lot that's told about the Magi, about the wise men, you know, who they are, or, you know, what they're about. There's very limited information about them. But as we piece this together, what we do know is that these wise men from the east, probably from the land of Persia or the southern land of Arabia, which is east of the Holy Land of Jerusalem, these wise men, they saw something. We don't know their names, but the scriptures makes reference in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, of the Magi. So they were known in the Old Testament as the Magi, or wise men, and the roles that they played. But the wise men that we're talking about here this morning, the wise men in Matthew, they were starstruck. They were so starstruck that it meant that they were led across the country. They were led across the country to find out what this light was. And they probably left their home. They probably left the business that they were running. And they traveled thousands of miles, probably facing many obstacles of poor weather conditions, storms, traveling through the desert, facing all kinds of animals. But the light that they saw, this light that they witnessed, was an extraordinary star. It wasn't no ordinary star. It wasn't your average twinkle, twinkle little star. How I wonder where you are. This was a star that these men transfixed their eyes on. They were smitten with this light. It was so extraordinary that they had never seen anything like it before. You know, who and what these wise men are in the scriptures, Matthew addresses them as the Magi. And it's a word that's translated from the Greek language to mean wise men or astrologers. Maybe they studied the stars. Maybe this was their nightly job, stargazing, watching the stars just moving throughout the universe. Maybe they recorded all of this and they foretold the future to the people of their land just by watching and observing the stars. You see, in the country that they were in, there was no street lamps. There was no other source of light. The only light that these people had came from the stars. It came from the night skies. You know, whatever sort of men they were before, these magi, whatever sort of sorcery or magic they probably had dealings with, it was a practice that was popular back in the East. These men were transformed. When they seen the light, they were transformed. They were starstruck. They had seen a light that could not be identified. They knew this extraordinary star was an indication of something that was about to break, something that was about to explode in Jerusalem. God used signs and wonders in his adventure plan to be fulfilled. And we heard last week in Luke's gospel that God appeared to the shepherds in the field. The glory of the Lord came and shone in the field, and the shepherds found out about the birth of Jesus. God used stars. He used a star for the philosophers, for the magi, for him to get their attention. He used a star. These wise men, after seeing this star, you know, I began to think about it. They could have turned around to each other and they could have said, well, I'm sure we will hear about him shortly in the village inn or in the village market or in the village temple. I'm sure we'll hear about this Messiah and I'm sure we can go then and pay honour to him. But as we've read from the scriptures and what we gather from the scriptures, they didn't waste any time. These men, they got up. They didn't wait any time to see who this Messiah was. They didn't wait any time to see what this star was all about. This star, this beacon of light, wasn't just any ordinary light. This light lit up the skies. And they were so eager to find out what this light was all about that they went to Jerusalem. They got up and they went to Jerusalem. And they went and they inquired after who the Messiah was. You see, these men, they had such a gut feeling. They knew something had happened inside of them. Something began to stir up inside of them. You see, God was moving them. God was leading them across the country to find out what the star was all about. And what they did was they stepped out. They stepped out in action. And they put feet to their fate. Nobody and nothing was going to stand in their way. You know, the star is one of the most enduring symbols in the Christmas truth. It's one of the most enduring symbols in the Christmas story. How can any of us explain how this star or whatever this beacon of light was that guided these wise men? And the only explanation is there's no explanation. The only explanation to this is there is no explanation. The only way to understand it is to accept it as the work of God. It was God that led these wise men directly to where he wanted them to go. And you know, so many people today have lost hope. They've lost hope for a future. They feel they are being swallowed up into darkness as to what direction to take and what decisions to make. For thousands of years, mariners and travellers have used the stars as a guide, as a point of reference. Christopher Columbus navigated the seas using the stars as a point of reference. The wise men followed a star as a point of reference to finding the Messiah. Our point of reference to finding hope and direction is Jesus. He's the answer. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. He is the light of the world. And you can invite Jesus into your world today, in whatever situation that's going on in your life. And he will be your light. He will be your guide. He will be the one that will direct you when you don't know the answers to where it is that you need to go. You know, Jesus sent a message to the church, and it talks about it in Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony, to give you this truth, to give you this promise. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Jesus is our bright morning star here this morning. He represents the promise of a new day. In him there is newness. There's potential of being new. It indicates that something better is coming. Something better is coming. So whatever situation you're facing, something better is coming today. In him, we can always start fresh. If you've messed up, so what? Get back up, because you can start fresh here today. In him, there is salvation. And if you don't know Jesus here today, don't leave this place, because you can know him today. He is salvation. He is the light of the world. You can give your life to Jesus here today. In him there is light, there is hope. He is the light. Amen, Father. But you know, this star of wonder, it caused outrage. It caused chaos in Jerusalem. And you know, every good story has a bad guy, isn't that right? And this Christmas story, behind this revelation, there was a guy called Herod, and he was a ruthless dictator, and the people feared him. And when the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, the first port of call for these wise men, they stopped at the palace. And when they went to the palace, they inquired after where the Messiah was. And it would probably explain, you know, these wise men went to the palace probably thinking that the king, the Messiah, was born in this palace. You know, a palace that's fit for the splendorous luxuries only fitting for a king. But somehow these men knew that Herod wasn't the chosen one. He wasn't the one that was born of God. And they said to the king, they said to Herod, where is he that is born? Where is he that is born king of Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to bow down. And we've come, we want to worship him. They didn't ask Herod, was there such a king born? Was there such a person born? You see, these men were confident. They knew in their hearts that the king of the Jews had arrived. They knew this star that they were tracking across the country was their point of reference. It was their guide for them to find the Messiah. You know, Herod was so disturbed on hearing this news. What we see from Herod is a person of unbelief, a person so fearful that somebody else was coming, that somebody else was going to reign much bigger, more powerful than him. And he was threatened. He was threatened by this new king, this new Messiah that had come into the world. You know, sometimes, like Herod, we don't let people get to know us really. We don't let people get to know us completely because we're afraid that they will discover something about us. But God already knows everything. He knows everything about each and every one of us here. He knows how many hairs we have on the top of our heads. When we have secret fears, they keep us locked up. They keep us tormented inside. Like Herod, maybe we are secretly threatened that others will rise up ahead of us in ministry or rise up ahead of us in life. And we end up being the ones torn apart with jealousy. See, only God can point something out in each of us here. If we have something hidden, something within us, we've got to ask God, search my heart, O Lord. Search my heart, O Lord. You see, God will be our guide. He will be the one, if there's anything in us, He will be the one that will bring us back on track. He will bring us on track. He will be the guide to bringing us to everlasting life. You know, Herod, a manipulator, full of fears, he tells the magi, he tells the wise men, come back and report to me the whereabouts of the Messiah. This is how afraid he was of Jesus. This is how afraid and threatened he was of this Messiah being born into the world. You see, Herod, in his heart of hearts, didn't want to bow down and worship Jesus. He didn't want to come and humble himself before a king sent from God. Herod wanted to come and he wanted to destroy the kingship of Jesus. He wanted to annihilate him. He wanted to take him out. And we read from the scriptures that he sent the troops out. He sent the armies out to kill all the babies in the country of that time, 1 and 2 years of age. This is how ruthless he was. But there are many things in our lives that want to destroy the kingship of Jesus in our hearts. There's many things that we can identify that want to take us out, that want to take the kingship of Jesus out of our lives. You see, there's plenty of Herods that lurk around us. The world is full of them. It's filled with things that want to take us out of our relationship with God. Things that seek to distract us, things that want to dishearten us. And even people and Christians we think have our best interests at heart, only to discover they manipulate us. People that we do life with at times sometimes want to manipulate us. And then we discover that they are strangers to God. They don't really know Him. You see, when you find Jesus, you come and you bow down and you worship Him. You give Him everything. You give Him your all. It's not 1 foot in and 1 foot out. You give Him your all. Psalm 139, search me, O Lord. Search me, O Lord. Search my heart. Examine my ways, my God. Search me, O Lord. You know, whatever others do, if you have to go it alone, you have to go. You have to keep letting God guide you. You have to keep letting God draw you towards His Son. You see, finding Jesus means that your life must take a different direction and that you become responsive to God's word. You become obedient to God's word. Like what Chris said earlier on, he doesn't like getting up here. But out of obedience to God, he came and he brought God's word this morning. The wise men, after finding Jesus and worshiping Him, they were redirected. God's adventure plan was still taking course and it was right on track. You see, God directed them to take a different direction back to their home country. You see, God was still protecting these wise men because, you see, Herod was out for them. Herod was out to destroy these men. And the good news is that this story of the shining star does not end with the wise men. And you can have your LOL moment here this morning. And it's not your laugh out loud moment or lots of love moment. You know, when I first got that in a text, I said, what's that all about? Everybody I felt was loving me, LOL. But your LOL moment here this morning is that you're the light of life. That's what Jesus is calling you to be this morning, the light of life. That you give your light to this world because this world needs you. That you bring the light of life, your LOL moment, and the knowledge of Christ to a world that doesn't know him. That you bring the light of life, your LOL moment, to a world that is in darkness. That you share your story of how you found Jesus. And the joy that you have and had when you found him. And if you lost it, you can come back to him today. Tell your friends and families over this holiday season. Tell them of Jesus. He's very much alive, folks. He's very much alive. Tell them of your experience, of your encounter that you had with the true God, with the living God, a God that's active. Let your light light. Let your light light over this Christmas season. Be the light of life. You see, Jesus has continued to guide you through the valleys. And he's even guided you even when you were up on the mountaintop. Become the reflection that Jesus is. It says in 1 John 1:7, we are called to walk in the light as he is light. It says in Romans, we are called to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That we put it on. That we don't take it off. That we put it on and we keep it on. The light of the world is a sign from God. He's a sign from God that Jesus is extraordinary. He's great. And he still goes before his people today. He transforms lives. And out of that, you will receive joy. When you come and when you worship and when you bow down, when you surrender all to him. Every part of your life. And the Bible says that no light should be hidden. And I brought in my beautiful lamp and my table from home. And Vicky Gregory says to me, gosh, you're really making yourself at home. So I said, it'd be rude not to. But you know, no light should be hidden under a table. And I tried to get that under the table this morning, but it won't fit. But no light should be hidden under a table. You see, light is meant to be a beacon. This light, this lamp, is meant to be on top of this table. And like us, we are the beacon to this world, to this lost world. We are the light that needs to shine. We are the ones that needs to bring Jesus to those that are lost in our society, in our family. Don't hide your light this Christmas season. Let it shine. You see, the light of this world for Christ, let it shine for all the world to see. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know that song? Like the wise men, you could be the only testimony that some unsaved person will ever get to see in this life. And I'm just going to ask Erica and the youth to come. And just in our closing. Come on. And just while the youth are just handing out these candles, I just want to read a story. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, maybe just hold for 1 second. And I'll read the story. Yeah, just 1 sec. Okay. A pastor in Romania whose name, Lazio Tokes, became too successful in the eyes of the Romanian government. He preached the gospel boldly, and within 2 years, he saw his small church grow to 5,000. The authority cut off his financial supply so that he couldn't buy food and fuel. They decided to exile him in December 1989, and you can Google this to see if this is true. When the police arrived, they were stopped by a vast crowd of people. As members of the church and other denominations stood shoulder to shoulder in protest, the police tried to break up the crowd, but the people, they wouldn't budge. Just after midnight, a 19-year-old churchgoer, Daniel Garva, pulled out a packet of candles. He lit one and passed it to his neighbor. One by one, the burning candles were passed through the crowd. The crowd stayed all through the night and the next day. The police finally broke through the church and they captured Pastor Toks and his wife and paraded them through the crowd. An outcry from the people came. An outcry was heard in the city of Tirumasura, where they protested against the communist government. Once again, Daniel Garva passed out his candles. Troops were brought in to shoot the crowd, and hundreds got injured. Even Daniel Garva's leg was blown off. Their bravery example inspired the entire population of Romania, and within days, the bloody dictator of that country was found dead. For the first time in half a century, Romania celebrated Christmas in freedom. And you know, this morning, we are called into this world. We are called to let our light shine. We are called into a world of darkness by God to light the candle of love. And as the girls give these candles out, I want people just to take it and just get revelation that this morning, that this candle is a symbol of the star that the wise men followed, this beacon of light. This is just a symbol. It's just a symbol of God's light. But it's significant, this light. Girls, just come past them out. You see, God is still searching for wise men and women. And he is leading people in ways that we still don't understand today. Let this Christmas season be of one of great joy and freedom. And this morning, you know, if this message has spoke to you, and when you receive your candle, I want people to stand. And only do it if God is speaking to you. But I want people to stand and to hold this candle up and to let the Lord know, Lord, you are my light. You are my guide. You are my Savior. You are the light of the world to me. And if you don't feel to do that, that's okay. There's no pressure here this morning. But I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And I'm going to ask Deborah to that first song that we sang, The More I Seek You. Let this song speak to your heart this morning. You see, God is still looking for wise men and women. He's still looking this morning. He's still searching. And if you've lost hope, you can come back here this morning and God will redirect you. He will be your light. He will be your protector. He will be your shining star. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that you and I would have eternal life with him. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus this morning? Is there anybody here? Jesus. If you could just raise your hand up. You know what? We're going to invite Jesus to come into your life this morning. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus. Jesus. Maybe if everybody closes their eyes. Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Anybody else? Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's say this. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. And come into my life. And make me anew. Be the light of my life. Be the LOL moment. In this world. Let me shine for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.